This is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. Tomorrow, there will be the cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 Mass. Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and we will have the Holy Hour and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. Friday is the first Friday, and we will have Masses at 7:20 and at 8:30 a.m. And the 8:30 Mass is followed by a conference and recitation of the Rosary. The first Saturday has Masses at 7:20 and 8:30, and confessions are between 8 a.m. and 8:30, and then after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Those who would like to assist us in mowing the south and east areas of the landscape may come this Saturday, August 5th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Also, just for, well, a reminder for everyone, but especially for new people, that these are the blue collection envelopes. And so people, it is a commandment of the church to give the support of the church, but that support is between you and God as to what you're able to do. But the reason why we're mentioning this is because so people know to use this if you want to have a record for if you have to make a tax statement or the like. But the other reason, which is really the bigger reason, that's why we're mentioning it, is the way we keep attendance. Because every priest is not around to see who was here for a particular Sunday. And by seeing the envelope, we know who is here. So that tells you, you don't have to put any money in to put in the envelope. Because not everyone is paid weekly or whatever their work schedule and payment schedule. But just you can just put in, even if you don't have any money to give, just so. And by the way, the children, too, can do the same thing, in which we have seen. Because it says, my sacrifice to support the church and to defend our Catholic faith. So some enlightened youngsters, they don't have money unless the parents may give them something to put in. I offer my communion. I offer prayers. That's my sacrifice to uphold the faith. See? So we ask, and thank you for all the people that do that, the old-timers who put in when they are able, and then still put in the envelope so we know who's coming. So that's just something for the new people. And then in that same light, these white ones are the Mass intention envelopes. So you can have Masses requested, and you put down what the intention is and the amount, and you fill out what you can on this. But you have to give it to one of the priests or the brothers, because this is a serious obligation to each of these, and we can't take any chances by just putting it into the collection basket. So, blessing of articles after Mass, no benediction this evening, and in conjunction with the cleaning of the chapel and in the assisting, that's tomorrow, and then assisting us with the landscape, mowing the lawn on Saturday. Just a comment. You've heard it before. Thank you. All of these things are for God's house and the property here. So thank you for doing that. And in the same spirit of thanking, which we can do personally, because we are not the ones that do these things, which I'm going to mention. So I can brag about it, because I'm not the one that does it. So on the landscape, the other priests and the brothers, you know, people that help to cut, but in a semi-arid climate, to keep this place going is a massive job. And they do it. You can see it. It's amazing. So I'm praising that. I'm praising all the upkeep. I'm praising all of the things that they do. And I'm giving you a little sneak preview. The priests have finished the designing of the new calendar. Even I have not seen it. I did see the cover picture. It's It's the best calendar out there, as you know. And they all work on it, but the finishing touches and the vision is you know who. And so I can brag about that. I'm also letting people know you're really missing out if you are not getting the Sunday message through the email. Because it's wonderful. I can brag about it. I don't do it. Now, a lot of the lay people help put it together. But one of the other priests edits it, if you want to put it that way. If you're missing out, if you are. So I want to praise that. And I will, in this conjunction with that, I'm going to say something here about the Holy Hour. And we've said many things about the Holy Hour in the past, about our own experiences, not with the Holy Hour, because the Holy Hour was, in the old days in the parishes, was something dedicated to the Nocturnal Adoration Society. That was all the men. And I don't know how many joined, but and they would, in our parish, they would start Friday night. They didn't do Thursday night. Thursday is the correct night. Okay. But they did on Friday night because it was easier. Because the men stayed up all night. They didn't stay all 8 hours, but they each take an hour. But then they would, the next day, most of them would be off from work. So it made it easier for them. And we may have spoken about in the past how the priest, the moderator of the Altar Boy Society, he tacked on that the servers, the men started about 7, he tacked on that the servers got to be part of it. Because from the date, now this is a parochial school, so from the time the school got out at 3 o'clock, there were half-hour slots for each server until 7. So the adoration started in the afternoon. It was a great thing, and we've spoken about that, and how a young boy learns to be a soldier of Christ when his time is finished and someone else forgot or is out playing on a Friday afternoon. And he knows he cannot leave his God unattended. But there is another part of this aspect, and we're going into this because we're trying to encourage people to come. But if you cannot come, we had nocturnal adoration here. But we're very small, and it's hard to do. So we went to the Holy Hour. So even if you cannot come, we have a live stream. Now, I'm mentioning something about Father Mateo. He was the great apostle of the enthronement, the Sacred Heart, and everything. I'm just mentioning him because one of the I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. He had a major part of his work was powered by children. His auxiliaries, he called them. Because this before computers and everything else. And he had to have people writing letters of encouragement to start these things. And he had all these youngsters doing it for him. I'm just mentioning that. Because of this. This is just a sample. This is The Man Whom God Forgot, a pamphlet on St. Joseph by Father Filas, a Jesuit priest, a Queen's Work pamphlet. I'm just mentioning this to encourage the Holy Hour, but also to encourage something else for everybody but the young people. These Sunday messages that come out, you've got all kinds of different things in there. It's all spiritual. Sermons, things to look at, the pictures. If you saw the one today of St. Dominic, the one a couple of weeks ago of St. Vincent de Paul, just the picture, just look at the picture that you get each Sunday. But I'm mentioning this because this, not this particular one, but there is one out coming this Sunday's one today, is by St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's a pamphlet, and it's in a online edition where it looks like you're turning the pages and everything. This is a result of the young people of this group. Just so you know that, because whatever it was, 10 or 12, whatever years ago, we had been told, don't trust anybody over 25 when it comes to computers. So we asked everyone in announcements, and would anyone like to help? And we had a bunch of high school and maybe down to middle school people help, and we had focus groups. And they were working on trying to, how do we get this up on the computer? And so, in these groups, they figured it out. They figured out where someone had already put them up on the internet, and then they worked on everything else, and then it was handed to a graphic artist who put them into the format you find. I'm just telling you, this is the type of impact anyone can make, even young people. And then the first Friday masses and conference, and then first Saturday. Oh, and one other thing, I don't know if you're not getting this Sunday message, I'll tell you this. There is this address to Catholics that we put out. That's from Father. And he made the address to Catholics in 1986. And we've never published it till now. And there's a whole story behind that. Volunteers working behind the scenes. And everything Father's saying, and first of all, it's amazing to see him. If anyone's seen this address to Catholics, it's amazing to see him 37 years ago. But everything he explains about the crisis and everything about Servants of the Holy Family is all exactly the same as it is today. The principles guiding why you're here are all exactly the same. It's tremendous to see that consistency, because it doesn't exist out in the world or in the traditional world. We could look at different groups from 1986 and see how far they are from what they were saying in 1986. So we encourage people to take a look at that too. And then, okay, we are taking too much time for these things, but it's important. But here are the saints. I'll just mention that this is not a saint for the celebrating his feast. His feast was actually July 20th. But just mentioning him because he's in the breviary of the priest. And it's Elias the prophet. Just to tell this story. There's many stories about Old Testament, but this was one, in a way, humorous. He, in his time, the pagans had taken over. And you can read it in the Bible. And he says, I am the last prophet. There's no one else left. And he said, I'm going to challenge you people to follow the true God. So he was inspired by God to do this. And he said, you have your 450 priests here, so we're going to have a contest. Your priests are going to take a sacrifice, and you're going to pray to your God, and while lighting the fire, you're going to offer your sacrifice. And I'm going to be on this mountain here, right across from you, and we're going to see which God starts the fire of the sacrifice. And so the whole morning and afternoon, the 450 pagans are marching around, screaming, yelling, cutting themselves, doing everything they can to try and get their false god to do something. And he's on the other side mocking them, laughing at them. Shout louder, can't hear you. And then when they're finished, he says, please pour as much water as you can on top of the wooden altar and the sacrifice. Pour, just drench it. And then he said his prayer, and fire came down and consumed his sacrifice in an instant. And then went over to the other mountain and did the same to their sacrifice and the 450 priests. So I just mentioned that's a story from the Old Testament. Saints today is Saints Abdon and Sanan. Can't say anything about that. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Ignatius, and that's St. Ignatius right there. There he is, founder of the Jesuits. Whole story there. I'm taking this remark I'm making completely from our Father Superior. He had a sermon on spiritual reading when he talked about St. Ignatius, and a saint who's talked about on that day too is his feast day. He's a blessed John Colombini. Father talked about spiritual reading. That man, that saint right there, was a soldier. He had his plans, what he was going to do, and God knocked him off his high horse. And when he was in a battle, he was injured and he had to spend time in a hospital. What is he going to do all day in the hospital? Give me some books on chivalry. That's what he was. He was a knight. And they didn't have any. So they said, well, give me what we have. It was saints' books. He was forced to read the stories of saints. And the more he read them, he said, God needs his own soldiers too. And that changed his life. But this blessed John Colombini, that was 1500s, but blessed John was, I think, the 1300s, Catholic, but he had a temper, and his wife had problems with him. And so she was praying, God, do something to the, and he was converted by, she tried to calm him down and just handed him the Bible, or maybe just a spiritual book. And he took the book and threw it across the room. And when he did that, because he was Catholic, he did feel bad. So he went over and picked up the book and he began to read. And that spiritual reading changed his life. And so the rest of the story you can read about St. John Colombini. It got so much that the quote of the wife was, I prayed for rain and I got a deluge, because he had so converted. The Holy Maccabees are on Tuesday. Wednesday is the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori. Friday is the feast of St. Dominic. I'll just refer to that. The message today, it was sent out, the picture of St. Dominic. It's a beautiful picture. He had preached to these people, and the mother who was there listening to she went home to find her sick child had died. She just picked up the child, carried him back to the saint, and said, help. And this picture shows St. Dominic praying and raising the child back to life. And Saturday is the feast of the dedication of the Church of Our Lady of Snows. And that was by miracle. Right now, this is the hottest part of the time, well, here too, but in Rome. And the miracle was that the Blessed Mother said, I want a church built, for this 300s, 4th century, I want a church built in my honor, and I'll show you where. And it was, she had snow come on this hill to designate where her church was to go. And that's St. Mary Major, the greatest church of the Blessed Mother in the world. Okay, that's it. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished at the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 47. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they have been hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee, and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation." And he entered the temple, and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There are so many lessons in this Mass, as St. Paul directs us and says, these are types, so we will be corrected. We who are living in the final days, are we in the actual last days? We don't know that. But these are definitely terrible days. And he's warning us, because this Mass is a Mass to remind us of many things, but one, the importance of the sacred liturgy. And we know that. Because the way that we pray shows the way that we believe. And that's why it's been attacked. Because the devil knows that. He knows the power of the Mass. He knows the power of the sacraments. He knows the power of the priests. And so he does everything to separate us from that. From the Mass, from the sacraments, from the priests. The means of giving the sacraments. That's what he's about. Don't fall for the trick. If anything ever feels funny to you, and it doesn't matter how old someone is, that's the greatness for young people. This has come up a couple of times in the last few weeks. So just to say, everybody, as soon as we're baptized, we original sin is taken away and we're given grace. God's life in our soul. We know this through the catechism. We are given the virtues and the gifts. And the second Baltimore Catechism 2 shows this great picture depicting how the virtues and gifts work. And it's got the rowboat, and it's got the seven oars, three on one side, four on the other. And the person is rowing across, and each one's marked the theological virtues and the moral cardinal virtues. And they are supernatural powers. They are the oars that get the person in the boat to be able to row to his destination to get to heaven. If you don't have grace, you don't have the oars, you're just sitting in the boat and you're in trouble. So that's what grace does. And it's good. You're able to get there. It's hard. But you are also given the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And they are the sails that are on the mast. And there are seven of those gifts of the Holy Ghost. We look up at the great stained glass window of the Holy Ghost coming down with his seven gifts. There's a gift for every one of those virtues. You can see the correlation. And these beatitudes that line the walls are connected also. That's a whole other sermon. We're just mentioning this for the young people and everybody. The saints are the people that know how to use the sails. We all have the gifts, but we are not used to using them because we're used, and that's what, how the virtues work. The virtues, God gives us more of a chance to work in his work of saving us. And so we have to do a lot more work. But the saints, we all have the gifts. We don't know how to unfurl the sail, and we don't know how to tack to the wind to catch the slightest breeze of the Holy Spirit, the holy breath of God. But the saints are able to do that. And they, when they catch that breeze of the Holy Ghost, they're responding to it. Now the sail fills and they start going faster. And then they can pull up the oars and just sail. See how it works? We are given supernatural powers, but with the virtues, we're more active. But as we advance in the spiritual life, we become more passive. We let God direct, the Holy Ghost direct us, and we sail smoothly across the terrible sea to heaven. Now, why do we go off digress on that? Because whether or not you recognize it, we all have these gifts. So young people may not be used to following them, but we do have them. And so if you, for some reason, you hear somebody speaking and you say, I don't know what's wrong with that. I don't know in my mind what's wrong with what they're saying. My rowing, I'm active. I don't know. Yet I do know it's wrong what they're saying. It's a gift. It's one of the gifts helping you. Trust it. Because they're lying to us all the time. All the time. So trust the gift. If you hear, and then you do what you, now you have to do your active part. Take the row, get those oars, you have to row. Do the active part. That is, ask somebody, ask your parents, ask the priest. I heard this. There's something about it I don't know. It doesn't seem right. I can't answer it though. What's the answer? See how it works? I'm just telling everybody, no matter how old you are, you have this ability. This Mass is to reinforce our connection to the sacred liturgy. Now, the Mass and we're disappointed whenever this ninth Sunday comes up because we cannot tell you how amazing the Epistle and Gospel are in explaining what happens to the people who do not do what we're telling you. Just say this. This is from last Sunday. Again, in the Old Testament readings that the priest has to make, this is what we learned last week because that Sunday was a lot of the Mass of last Sunday was about the dedication of a church and Solomon's dedication of the temple. And after this great building of the temple and this great prayer and the Holy Ghost showing his taking possession of the temple, in the form of, how do we see the breath of the Holy Ghost as I was talking about catching it in the sails? We don't see the wind. But how do we see that type of action in the air? By a cloud. So the Holy Ghost has come in that way. And that's how he came after Solomon's prayer and building his temple. He came in this great cloud, the Shekinah, and took over, went right into the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant could not be seen because of the cloud all around it. And after this great manifestation, this great prayer of Solomon, God said, I am appeased, and I will grant peace to your people, and I will grant that the Redeemer will come from David, that's Solomon's father. I will give you that. And then he said this, but if you and your children revolting against me, shall turn away from following me, and will not keep my commandments and my ceremonies, which I have set before you, but you will go and worship strange gods and adore them. I will take away from Israel, from the face of the land which I have given them, and the temple which I have sanctified to my name, I will cast it out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the people, and this house shall be made an example of everyone that shall pass by it. They shall be astonished and shall hiss and say, why hath the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and followed strange gods and adored them and worshiped them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Sound familiar? And I'm going to... So the disappointment is we cannot... He will just tell you. Read. If you listen to anything about spiritual reading... By the way, on those little booklets that come out each week, they're not long. You see this. It's not the Summa. But it is hard to do, I have to say. But what I've found is if you just read a little bit each day, you finish it during the course of the week. And the things that I learned about St. Vincent de Paul, and last week's was about St. Anne. One of her, a relic of St. Anne, and it lists all these great, where the relics are and things. There's a relic right in New York City at a church of St., they say Jean Baptist. It's St. John the Baptist. Okay, that's good. It reminds me. See, it's not listed here for August 3rd because there's no saint on the universal calendar. But just a little bonus for everybody. That is also the feast of St. Peter Julian Aimard, who was the founder of the Blessed Sacrament Fathers. Can't tell you the story. But that church in New York City, this St. Jean Baptist, they call it, has this relic of the Blessed Mother, where they, just like at St. Anthony of Padua and these other great places of pilgrimage, they have to clear out periodically all the crutches and things in the church of all the miracles of people. They're healed, they're cured, they're able to walk, and they leave their crutches and things, and the every so often the sacristans have to clear out the church of all these things. There's so many miracles. That church is run by these Blessed Sacrament Fathers. That's just a tidbit. But if you want to read, if you want to do some spiritual reading, take out Dom Guéranger's liturgical year, or look it up, for the entry for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It might be his largest writing about one Sunday of the year, because he goes through the detailed history of the fulfillment of this gospel. That's why it says, our Lord, this is Palm Sunday, as he's coming over the hill, Mount Olives, and he's coming down the hill, and they start praising him and taking the palms and everything. We know the story from Palm Sunday. He sees the city of Jerusalem as he comes over the hill, and it says he burst out in tears. Because obviously, as God, he knew what was coming within a frame of 40 years. And he knew why it was coming, because they were not going to accept him. He was coming to his own city, and he knew by the end of the week they would kill him and cry out, may his blood be upon us and our children. And he knew what that curse was going to do to them. And Dom Guéranger goes through the history of what happened to fulfill this. The cannibalism that these people were reduced to. How God allowed them to descend into the depths of evil. That's the disappointing thing. Because here we're giving a sermon. We can't give a history lesson. Read about it. You'll be shocked. How God controlled his providential plan. How these Roman legions who came to destroy these Jews in Jerusalem as a punishment because of what they did to God, how there were times when the attack was stopped because a year or so before it was destroyed, where no stone was upon another. A year or so before that, the Roman general, for unknown reason, called off the attack. And as Dom Guéranger says, why? Well, that was God's providence, but what did it allow? All the Christians in the city saw the signs of the times. When they throw up a rampart about you, and there's a trench, and all these, and they circle you in, know that it is the time. And so when the legions left, all the Christians left the city, led by St. Simeon, the Bishop of Jerusalem. Okay. This is the disappointing part about this Sunday, because the history is so rich. Those who do not rely on God's commandments and continue to be faithful to his ceremonies, the Mass and the sacraments, this is what happens. St. Paul tells us about that too. We give an example in conclusion, and that's why we didn't speak about August 1st, the Holy Maccabees, the only Old Testament saints on the calendar. And you can do some spiritual reading. Second book of Maccabees, chapter 7, is all about them. The account has just finished talking about Eleazar, 90-year-old man. This is in the Old Testament, so this is before our Lord came. But the Jews were the true chosen people and the true faith. And these Hellenistic Greek people came in and took over the Holy Land. And they were imposing this paganism on the people. And many of them went along. Sound familiar? But the true faithful people did not. And this one man who was 90 years old, he was very well respected. Chapter 6 tells about him. And they all liked him. And the people who had gone over to the pagans, they didn't want him to be killed. So they were just saying, look, all you got to do is just go up and touch the meat that's been offered to the pagan gods. Because you were supposed to commune with the devil. And just go up and just touch it. Don't eat it, but just touch it. And that'll be enough to get you by. And you can hear what he says. It's recorded. He says, I will not dishonor my gray hairs by letting the young people think that I have given up what I have given my life to for 90 years. And so they killed him. Then the next chapter is this mother and her 7 sons. They are brought forth and they are told the same thing. Break you down. Disobey the laws. Oh, these were dietary laws of the God had given them. And worshiping false gods. I'm going to break you down. And the oldest son spoke first and said, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to throw away my life, that is, start doing what you want. Because I am going to be faithful to the God of my fathers. And you are going to be punished for what you're doing. And so they didn't like hearing this, of course. And so they torture him, cut out his tongue, everything they can. But he, in the end, remains faithful. And then each son comes up, and it's all recorded in this chapter. Each son, same thing. Oldest spoke first. And then by the time the third son came up, he just walked up and just put his hands out like this and put his tongue out. Have at it. Nothing evil will touch my tongue. I will not touch anything evil. Go ahead. Because he had seen what they had done to the. They went all the way down. And then they had the last son, the youngest son. And they said to the mother, who had been watching, they said, you know, the old carrot and the stick, here, you talk to him. Save your son. They promised the son, not save him, just punishments. They're going to make him rich. They're going to put him in charge of things. Now the mother was to be admired above measure and worthy to be remembered by good men, who beheld her seven sons slain in the space of one day, and bore with it with good courage for the hope that she had in God. And she bravely exhorted every one of them in her own language, being filled with wisdom. And joining a man's heart to a woman's thought, she said to them, I know not how you were formed in my womb, for I neither gave you breath, nor soul, nor life. I'm pausing, because we keep hearing it said, parents do not make babies. God creates. She knows. She knew it. Neither did I frame the limbs of every one of you, but the creator of the world that formed the nativity of man and that found out the origin of all, he will restore to you again in his mercy both breath and life, as now you despise yourselves for the sake of his laws. So here it is. Before our Lord came, the belief in the resurrection. And then the king becomes angry and says, you try and save him. So she speaks to him. It says in her language, because they spoke Greek. And so she spoke to him and said, do not abandon God now. And so the son, he speaks then. You need not say that to me, mother. I am willing to give my life for God. And then he is sacrificed. And then it says, in the end, the mother was also sacrificed. So, what is the message for all, and maybe especially for mothers here, but also for the young people? It's going to be up to you. Because this thing has gone on a long time, and sometimes things last a long time. In conjunction with the epistle, there were 600,000 people that left, 600,000 men that left in the Exodus. 40 years in the desert, and only two of them made it to the Holy Land. Two people, Joshua and Caleb. And they all died because of the epistle saying they betrayed the commandments and the ceremonies of God. The only people were the people born in the desert, who grew up in the desert. They knew hardship. They knew the lessons that their parents learned the hard way. But it was up to the parent, the children, to get into the Holy Land. That's what we're passing on to you. God bless you.